ready for the interview. In a few, get a cue live on a laptop. Watch what I'm gonna do. Welcome to the show. Let them know we got a point of view. Hey, yo, let's have a combo. Say what you feel, be real. That's the motto. Real talk, pronto. Dr. D, PhD, hit an intro. Hold up, wait. Gotta be social, network, global, a home for the locals. Gotta be social, network, global, a home for the locals.
We are back. Speaking again, we're starting to speak a lot, you know, these days.
We are.
I know. It's a pleasure. And then we've kind of known each other adjacently through LinkedIn for a while. So it's really nice that we've started this regular dialogue with each other. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I want to kind of kick off what we were talking about right before we hit record, which was about mentorship, which I know you're passionate about. So am I. I'd love to hear kind of, and for the audience to hear your story related to why this is such an important thing in your life and in the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm really excited to be having the conversation with someone like you. I have grown up through the industry, education straight into a career. I've been blessed to use my education and work in the fitness industry and grow into the wellness industry, working for two hospitals as director of wellness. One of the things I've enjoyed the most through all of that journey, Darian, the highs and the lows of all of it, has been training and developing new team members and the mentorship that comes with it. And I've had oodles of group X instructors and personal trainers under my directive, health and wellness coordinators, fitness coordinators, you name it. And I am very vested in the health and wellness of the fitness industry. And the way I see it right now, my passion is a little bit fired up even more post-pandemic because I don't see the industry rising to the occasion to fill the gaps with one of the biggest challenges I continue to hear still, even in a webinar this week, that there's not enough seats on the bus in the fitness clubs. Still can't find personal trainers to come into bricks and mortar. Still don't have enough fitness instructors. And to me, the solution is the opportunity to mentor and develop persons that are maybe sitting on the periphery, contemplating a career in this industry, which has given so much to me. That's why I'm so passionate about it. And or they have newly joined the industry and are seeking some mentorship and or direction, because there's the career path that's open to fit pros today from when I started is so much larger. You can do so much more than group X and personal trainer. And that's not being dismissive. It's excited about opportunity that's come out of where we're going in the industry. And then we have others that I'm experiencing that are what I call the career 2.0 group, individuals that, and we're going to have more and more of this, I believe, that have had a very nice career in a different discipline, but have dabbled in fitness and or are interested, and they want to be in our industry, and they don't know anything. They need mentorship as well. So I feel like it's my time, given what the industry has given me, to share and help fill this gap. And of course, you and I had the conversation, so now we're running. But that's just a little bit about how I come to be fired up about this particular topic.
So funny you mentioned about what this industry has given to you. And I was just telling you before we hit record that the post that I put out on LinkedIn, it says exactly that. It's given so much to me. I want to give back. We want to give back. This is a great way to do it. And I think what you said about, like, you know, not enough seats, and that it's just not enough people caring about people coming into the business. It's such an individual business for so many people. And they get in and they just feel so alone. And they have to, like, this is a weird industry where it's like you have to start from scratch and, like, with no guidance, almost no guidance. You have to, like, make a lot of mistakes, or, as you know, the lifespan, especially of a personal trainer, is less than a year. I mean, they get out of the industry super quick because there's just no help. And it's a difficult industry to just start gaining clients without having to resort to doing something else.
Agreed.
And then I was telling a bunch of students, trainers at Colorado State, once you get into another job, if you're struggling and it makes you a lot of money, you're probably not coming back to fitness. The allure of making a lot of money versus doing something you love, it's so hard for people to make that change. But I think that can be helped if we mentor people and we're there for them when they're struggling, especially in the beginning. And they're like, can I actually do this type of thing? You know?
I so agree with you because I think there is a huge opportunity to provide the mentorship, training and development, career mapping, to give fitness professionals an understanding in the how to make a living in our business. Because you're right, Darian, once they leave and they make the bucks, and for some, it's not making big bucks.
Right.
It's making enough bucks just to live. And that's heartbreaking when we're in a servant leader industry. And I don't know about you, but in my career, the individuals that I've met at any point in their development, they are heart-filled leaders.
Yes.
They're in it, like you said, they're in it because they really want to make a change in someone's life and provide their skills to someone to make them feel better, move better, all of the things, and yet not have the opportunity to make a living. Just a basic living to do it, right? And so, yes, you're right. When they leave and they can make a living doing something else, why would you come back and not and struggle to pay bills? It blows my mind too. It just is a bit of a disconnect.
Well, let me ask you this, and I think we may have discussed it, but I think especially in this podcast format where this is going to get out to a lot of our colleagues, we're going to tag people, both you and I. Mm-hmm. And I would love for the audience, when they listen to it, to give us feedback too. But In your opinion, Debbie, why do you think this mentorship initiative has not gotten off the ground in larger institutions in our industry?
I think the answer to that question, given my knowledge of a few institutions intimately that I have been involved with, others a little bit less, just in a speaking capacity, is truly that the mission, vision, and values have been loaded with other priorities. Let me say it that way. Not good, bad, right, or wrong, just other priorities. And it might be that these institutions have not had to really make this a primary focus in the past because we were sort of swimmingly moving along pre-pandemic with what it would seem like big bricks and mortars with enough employees to do the things that we're talking about, providing fitness classes and personal training and health coaching. And if not, many had their own in-house certifications and or trainings, right? So I don't know that this lack of staff and this big void that we're encountering right now has been something previous in the industry that's really such a hardship that any of the institutions had to put it as, you know, one of the top five priorities for any fiscal year. I think that's probably one of the reasons it hasn't been tackled, because it hasn't been such a huge gap as it is today. What do you think?
You know, it's very interesting. I think that that's certainly a large element, I think, for sure. I think also that, you know, obviously staffing for something like this is a pretty large endeavor, especially I think if you're in whatever large institution is in our business, it may feel like, well, this is a huge amount of people we have to serve. And as if monetarily speaking, you know, a lot of the business is based off of the consumer and making money, increasing profitability. And while there is some level of professional development for our colleagues, that development has not been geared towards mentorship. It's been geared towards, you know, things like, you know, how to do certain exercises better, different routines, this type of group X class, marketing, selling. But it hasn't actually been to the healthfulness of helping someone through their journey, their actual journey through the business as a mentor. And I think we forget we're in a service industry, We're so focused on the clients or the members, we forget that we need to focus on the colleagues as well. We're forgetting about each other. I think that's a, it's like a blind spot for us. And we don't see each other, but we definitely see the clients. We think so much about helping clients and patients, but we literally forget about ourselves. It's a weird thing that we do as people often.
I think you're right. I think this conversation, it's so interesting because I have 23 years of working for hospitals as a director of wellness. So I've worked intimately with physicians and allied health professionals, nurses, who are a group of the least healthy employees in any workforce, right? True statement.
Yes.
And it's the same disposition there, Darian, that I experienced. And my heart would hurt for them because in the nursing field, they are trained to take care of everyone else. And often at the expense and encouraged at the expense of their own health and well-being. Because it's not uncommon, nurse directors and managers, and I would hear things like this and I'd be like, is this really how your industry is? Because, you know, nurse directors eat their young. This was the expression all the time. And so you learn through the school of hard knocks, but it's not a disposition that grows their nurses in taking care of their own health and well-being. And we have a little bit of that too in the fitness industry. I feel like it's easy to be very outward focused on our clients and our members and do right by them and do well by them. And meanwhile, we are not necessarily, you're right, seeing each other and providing the support that we all need. It's just, we need it.
And I think that's one of the issues. It's like you and I and a bunch of other people, we go to these conferences and we have these wonderful engagements with people there. And we realize, again, the power of community and why we need each other. And then we forget about it the other months until we come back. And that's what needs to change is like, what's that gap? How do we cover that gap between those meetings, those conferences, these touch points? That we're just not feeling alone. I feel like it's a very lonely industry and it suffers from the same loneliness epidemic that is occurring all over the planet at this point. And mentorship, I feel like, is a great way to help try to curb that. And we have so many other resources. Like you said, you're coming into a business now. If you're listening to this, you're a new professional. Your pathways are so numerous. Imagine what it was like for us 20 years ago. It's like very few pathways, you know, and you had to really had to have a lot of education to get to a certain point or this area or like it is like the Wild West of opportunities at this point. But even if you have something that's very different, you still need that connection point. There's someone to help you through the good times and the bad times. So I think what you and I especially are trying to tackle is what happens in between these great connection events. And how can we pull you along between those times? You know?
Yeah, it's interesting. It is such a dichotomy. And the American Surgeon General released 3 advisory papers between November of 22 and May of 23.
Yep.
And one was the number one concern at the work site is mental health and well-being. Then the loneliness epidemic paper came out, which you're referencing.
I love that.
And then it's amazing. And then amazing. The third was our children are not okay due to the impact of social media. If we look at our industry and the way you and I grew up in it, I do think it has changed phenomenally is that we grew up chasing the connection. I do believe we came into it with the spirit of, I know I did. There was a celebration of a young fitness professional if you could multitask and have different certifications. You could teach more than one modality, right? Or teach group X and personal train, you were cool. I mean, that was, so we were, you know, we were very proactive in our learning, our growth, our development, and finding our networks to support that. And I think by virtue of having more than one certification and going to many conventions, we somehow found our people, didn't we? Like, I know who my people are, and I'm still friends with them today. We go to Idea World, and it'll be like we picked up from last year, like you said. But we're in this industry of servant leadership. It's a service industry. It's an industry of community and connection, and social fitness is a term. And here we are, like you said, incredibly lonely. It's this incredible dichotomy to me of how do we fix that? And that's, I think, ever more present now, post-pandemic, as so many fit pros have elected to work from home, hybrid, you know, a little bit of both, where that has exacerbated this loneliness epidemic in our industry. And yet we're social beings and we need the connection.
We badly need the connection. It's weird. It's like we want that connection badly, but we also do a lot of habits and practices that work against that at the same time. But there's also a good that, you know, like you and I are doing now, speaking through Zoom and a virtual format, there's a lot of positives to that too. And that you and I could actually do this. I mean, this was science fiction when I was growing up doing
this.
Me
too.
And it's, so it's amazing. We humans have created amazing things to create connection, but we actively work against it. And I think, I love that term chasing connection, by the way. I love that. Like, I feel like we were super into that when we started. Mm-hmm. We're like chasing that connection. And I think we felt like we knew how to do it too. Like we knew how to reach out. I think for this generation, what I think that the gaping hole that we're stepping into is we're actually having to teach the connection, chasing the connection too. We had to actually teach it. How do you chase connection? That's not natural for the younger audience. They don't even know how to start.
No, can I share? This is, I love this conversation with you. I want to share two encounters that I've had in the last 24 hours, Darian, which highlights this. And I know I'm of a certain age. I've been in the industry a long time. And I do feel for the younger generation coming into our industry and the younger generation that finished high school, maybe a university college degree via Zoom because we were on shutdown. And you can literally see some of the gaps there today, which is also impacting the fitness industry, where the social skills have been altered. Right? I feel like you and I could very confidently say our social skills have improved immensely by virtue of being athletes, training, teaching, coaching. I mean, I don't have a problem getting on a stage. Where did I learn that? Varsity athletics. Mm-hmm. Finding my voice and discipline and then Reebok Master Trainer Team. Jen Miller coached me. So I found my voice and I learned how to present appropriately. Two instances that have come up in the last 24 hours where I see young people struggling with communication outside of industry. And I wonder if it's the same for our fitness newbies coming in. One was an encounter at a hospital yesterday. I just had to drop in for lab work. And I have a younger person. I have the protocol from the functional medicine doc. I'm to get lab work. Simple. And this younger employee starts with why they can't help me and why am I at this hospital at this lab. And I watched him. And because I have 23 years in healthcare, I just kind of stepped back and watched. And I was like, what is he doing? He's explaining to me all the things that aren't going to work and why I should be here. And I was just like, I finally said, sir, if you can't serve me, it's okay. I understand. If administration told you, you can't take these lab kits because there's no code to bill it to, it's okay. But he was just talking nonstop. Number two, I get on the phone this morning to book a hotel with a much younger person to go to the TRX Summit in Del Rey as a trainer. And I get the same dialogue, nonstop verbal, nonstop, about I have two Marriott numbers. And it's, well, then I'm going to have to do this. And then I'm going to have to cancel that out and do this. And I'm like, I'm going to sit back, holding the phone going, what is happening? And I wonder if some of our human skills, our human ability to relate, skills that you and I polished by virtue of standing in front of others and teaching and coaching, this is also part of what we need to coach, Darian. It's like filling that gap of, you finished a high school degree or a varsity degree via Zoom. shut down for almost 2 years. What happened to our social skills there? So I think that might be some love we can give back to the industry too.
Yeah, those are great stories. And I think it's also teaching a generation of people how to have a nuanced relationship with the technology they grew up with as well. Because it's like anything, if your worldview is very isolated to a very small thing, you don't understand the larger worldview of like, okay, there are very many negatives to this, but there's also many positives in a nuanced way. We're not saying don't use this, but use it in a way that will be a powerful benefactor for you, not a negative in your life for that. But what you're talking about, especially, is like this erosion of connection, of being able to even form the connection. It's like you're losing the signal, is getting lost, right? It's and unfortunately, I think what we're gonna have to do is start teaching how to form that those synapses to start firing again in a way. Mm-hmm. Because I was at Colorado State this week I was promoting our mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I talked to the training staff, campus recreation, and we have lots of people who want to get mentored, which is great. It's a good start, what we're doing. But the number one thing is like, they don't even know how to start meeting people. Like, they don't even, which is funny to me because this is a generation that has every resource available to meet people, but doesn't know how to do it. Whereas you and I did not have these resources. We had to hustle. You know, we had quarters, putting in a payphone, calling people, dropping by businesses, whatever it is. Like, but that sort of hustle, it like hardens you towards that. Like, you start building this callus, like, I just go up to anyone, I'll start doing it, you know, like, they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they have much more than we did, they're struggling immensely to even know how to use all this stuff that they have for their benefit.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, isn't it? It's more, but it's different. And yet when we talk about what it is that we're doing in the industry and the services that we provide, which are so needed, so needed. We just don't have enough fitness professionals to serve the need. All the reason to get more young folks excited about what we do. Right. It's predicated upon human relations. So for us to be effective in our work would mean that we have to have the ability to relate to one another with a great deal of empathy and understanding and in the moment awareness. So many human skills, right? Like you're saying, because if Darian shows up to a personal training appointment with Debbie and he only slept 3 hours and isn't well hydrated, didn't take his medicines in the morning, but he showed up, maybe the protocol that Debbie thought was appropriate for today is in fact not. And the emphasis is not so much on the exercise output as finding out what's going to make Darian feel better today, right? Maybe we're going for a 15-20 minute walk outdoors and that's the session for today.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk and talk for a little bit. So yeah, it's really interesting the having so much available and so many resources and high tech and all of it. Yet when we come down to it, there's a couple of fundamental things that we need to be effective.
Yeah.
To make change.
To make change. And I think, as I was telling you also before this, I truly believe the capacity for our seasoned professionals like us, they have a huge heart for this. They actually do. And for our seasoned professionals that are going to watch and listen to this, we see you. We know you want to be a part of something like this. And when you check your LinkedIn and you see what I like, you'll see it's tremendous. Like, there's a tremendous heart for this. Yeah. Like, our colleagues want to be, because they all got into it for the same reason, to help other people. But even just like the new people or the 2.0, seasoned colleagues need direction too in this. Because you may want to mentor someone, but you think, I'm alone. How do I even start this? I want to like mentor someone, but like, I don't want it to be weird. How do I reach out to someone? Like, that's what Debbie and I are trying to do, create a buffer so that there's an intermediary. And we could help with that. But I would love for you to speak, at least in my experience, I think there's a huge heart for this from our colleagues.
Well, I'm thrilled to see that. And hear it, I'm going to go check that LinkedIn post to get in there. But I'm not surprised, Sarah. I'm truly not surprised. I might be overwhelmed when I see the response, but I'm not surprised because I know many in the industry like you and I who've grown up through it, stayed with it, and have even more fire for it now, even given all we've endured with so much loss in the last 4 years, because we've all, you know, lost certain things. I think it's just an exciting time to reboot, and it is the right time for innovation and creativity and to try new things. It really is.
Yeah, I think so. And I think what's even, I want to be respectful of this, but I think so much of our business has been a lot of kind of a dog and pony show, cop and circumstance. And we've elevated kind of this idea of the gimmickiness of our profession. And often sometimes different products and services, and sometimes people who are not necessarily looking out for the industry. And so I feel like we got to rein that in a little bit too. And not saying like there's a place for a lot of different things, but I would like to, in our adventure in this, is really get to the point of speaking with people of maybe just really, they have a gigantic platform, be like, listen, you know, this is one of the greatest things you can do with this platform you're doing is give back to these, to our community. Like, make the, if we're really serving, you know, the community, we need to serve our community. Like, mm-hmm. the people who are in it, because you got somewhere, but you didn't get there by yourself. And we need to get back to each other for that. And as we mentioned, I want to be very transparent during this podcast. We mentioned about, this isn't a money thing for us. We're giving our time and we're asking other people to give your time. This isn't a money scheme, right? This is about giving back, truly, truly mm-hmm. giving back.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And not looking at, oh, this is a step to something else to create this. No. This is literally about a true heart for helping people in that are working in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think your point around product, services, and people, I think there's a little bit of a feel. I don't know if you feel it too, but I do think there's an opportunity, a little bit of a feel for back to the basics.
Yeah.
And I'm all about innovation in tech and products. Yes, we do need to take all of those steps as well. But all of those things require someone to create an introduction to a product and or teach how, and or if there are outcomes aligned with a certain product, like a glucose monitor and or other things on market that are becoming readily available to the average consumer, which they weren't 3 or 4 years ago, just using that example, there has to be a human person, professional like us, to help a client interpret data, number one. Number two, once we have that ability to understand what does this data mean, then to effectively map a plan and a strategy for a health plan, an exercise plan, whatever we want to call it, to become healthier. And that's not going to happen solely with AI and other modalities. At the end of the day, the human factor that we're bringing with coaching and motivation and accountability and interactive in the moment, corrective feedback, whatever it might be, and creating community, I'll say as well, because you said something so important a little bit ago, the individualistic nature of what we do, it is mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing.
Like, right? Because at the end of the day, all of my programming experience in wellness, my most successful members in my weight management program, my cancer program, my healthy back, women's health program, were in a group. Now, they might have started the journey alone as a personal training client and then joined the weight management program. But as soon as they got in a group of like-minded individuals on the same journey, trying to lose weight and be healthier, then they had all these accountability partners. So it far exceeded the one-on-one that we could provide. We still maintain that. But so this essence of what we bring to the industry and our ability to motivate and connect and the accountability, I think that's huge in the behavior change model for individuals who are trying to become healthier. It's just not easy to make change.
Yeah. And you know what? You mentioned behavior change. What's interesting is we're embarking on this very large behavior change model for clients and patients and members. We need to put that on ourselves
well.
And we need to make behavior change in our industry extremely important for our colleagues, in the sense that a behavior of uniting behavior. And yes, the industry is only as good as the quality of people that are in the industry.
Correct.
And we also need more volume of people in the industry, which is a big misnomer. I think we have this scarcity mindset that, oh, well, I'm going to be competing against you because I need to get these amount of, listen, there's not enough professionals to handle the demand. This is a misnomer in the business right now, but we need to take those behavior change models, put it on ourselves and say, let's unite as an industry and let's have more people stay in the business for a long. That's my whole goal with this. I want more people to be in the business as long as I've been in, as you've been in. We need more of that. Versus the terrible attrition rate that we currently have. The only way I know how to attack that is to start with a mentorship program and start getting people feeling good about being matched with somebody when they get in or they switch careers, and to have someone with them when they're struggling and when they're growing in a positive way. Whatever it is, just someone there for them.
Right.
And that I feel like we need to turn the tables back on us versus always being on the other side of it.
I agree. And if we look at where we're headed as a nation, two things that affirm that idea 1,000%. One, we have more Americans over age 55 than under right now. And Darian and Debbie have no desire to leave the industry just because we reach a certain age.
No.
This is not how we think, right?
No, not at all.
No, right? Full well, I can keep on going and do what I'm doing with my heart, purpose on fire, using all of my skills, well into my mid-60s if I desire, and on into my 70s.
For sure.
There's no reason to stop. With that being said, and the rising cost of sickness in America and obesity and diabetes and hypertension on the rise, we need more of us to tackle all of that too. And that's a career opportunity. You could start teaching fitness, start as a trainer, do both, go to health coaching, and you can specialize and move into coaching all kinds of disease states if you have interest in that. So I just think there's so much opportunity, and it's the right time to do this.
It is the right time to do it. You know what I'd love to do too as part of and I think this is maybe larger than what we're doing, but I think it'll be kind of a nice offshoot of it is, a lot of our colleagues, myself included, run their own businesses. And, they also often move to other things because of the health insurance aspect of it. But not knowing that, especially if they're single or they're by themselves and not making a lot of money, they could buy a plan through the market insurance place. And within that plan, they could get a therapy for free within that plan. And zero deductible waived, get therapy for free as part of your investment back into yourself to be a better professional, to be in the industry longer. A lot of our newbies don't know that. They're underneath their parents' health insurance plan. They're terrified of what it means when that ends for them. Right. And then they feel the pressure to leave the industry because of things like that too, which we in our country, we have really pushed people to get jobs because of that versus getting a certain job because they actually want to do it with that. So there's some nice offshoots too that I think we could tackle within this.
That's very astute, because I think growing up in fitness and or if you're contemplating taking the step into the industry, if you could have some of those quality conversations beforehand, hey, Darian, I love fitness. I think I might want to do my degree in exercise science. And I'm watching everybody do their own business, and I think I might want to start my business one day. What are the 10 things I need to know, Darian, while I'm studying? So that when I graduate, right, I have taken the right courses. I've taken some, steps to learn more about what it is to set up an LLC, have your own insurance, maybe a couple of accounting principles. When does a wellness lawyer become important? I think that's a huge give back to Darian. I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a big one. And actually, I'll go back to my meeting with those trainers at Colorado State. Is they're terrified of what it means to be outside of that kind of cocoon, working in that environment out there. And part of it is like, what's the day-to-day management of being doing this job like? I have no clue what it's going to be like.
Wow.
And placing somebody with a mentor who has done this for a long time and can say, before they even get into it, while they're studying, here's a typical day, here's what you can expect, eases the anxiety. And as we know, anxiety is a gigantic portion of our younger generation. They're anxiety riddled.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that anxiety is anxiety of the future. Is this world a good world for me to be in with the state of how things are? I'm so nervous about my life and being an adult. How am I going to support myself? How can I even get a house? How could I afford to get a house one day? All these things.
Yep.
And if you could help them like feel less anxious about the job life they're going to go into, that's another great reason for mentorship.
I totally agree. And with this, we know that Zoom is not going anywhere and the hybrid workforce is not going anywhere. I think we should be, and I know we will, celebrating and lifting those young persons up to understand that entrepreneurship can be viable and what are the tenets of that. And that's a really good gift back. Really good.
I think it's just, it's funny. I think we have such synergy about it, you know, and I think that so for everyone here, I think it's just, if you have a heart for mentorship and certainly you have a heart for being in the business, you chose to be in it and it's probably done quite a bit for you. This is a great way to get back in the game with just your time.
Yes.
And, you know, literally a little bit of your time. I mean, you can get a lot of things back in life. You can't get time. You can never get that back. And think about this as a time forward investment. You're giving people at the beginning of their careers interest in the future of their career. Like, oh, I get to see something normally I would never get to see. I'm gaining a valuable lesson that I may have had to struggle through that. And there's a value in struggling for sure, but at least to get a couple of cheat codes in there is kind of nice, you know?
It's like,
I mean, a few, Leah, come on, you know?
What are those study guides, Darian? Remember you?
Yeah, the cliff notes. We got to give something to people, you know? Like, you shouldn't be alone. My thing is, you just shouldn't be alone going into it. I mean, if somebody should love you and care about you when you come into the business and be your champion for you. And that's how I feel about it. I spent my past 23 years, especially in the last 10, trying to be a champion for as many people as possible as they enter the industry, finding jobs, all those things so that they can do the thing that they want to do. Because who wants to do something that they literally can't stand on a daily basis?
Amen to that. And I think if there was opportunity for young individuals and those that are shifting careers and career 2.0 to know that there was someone that they could trust to be available to answer those kinds of questions, starting out before the journey, in the middle of the journey, and or wouldn't that be just a wonderful way to build up the fitness industry and build up our business again?
Yeah.
And get a new influx of new university grads like you're teaching that they don't change their minds after they get their degree because the anxiety has got them frozen in time and or their parents.
Saying, yep.
Go get the law degree because you're guaranteed to make money. And to your point, to do something soul sucking every day. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine. I've never had to do that. I've had big jobs and hard jobs, but
yeah.
All in the industry, and it always made sense to me. So, yes, I think we all have a huge opportunity to come together to create this community, to spread the love nationwide, and get our arms around the industry and show it some love and get people excited to put a foot in the fitness industry and look at it as a long-term play.
Because you think of it, like you mentioned the parents thing, that's a brilliant topic because when, especially for as college students, they're hearing this voice one side from their parents, you need to get a good job. Whatever that doesn't always mean, like, whatever that is, you need to be able to support yourself. And if you tell them, like, you're going into art, or you're going to be a personal trainer, or, you know, they think, oh, my child's going to struggle. My child is not, they're going to live at home longer. They're thinking all this stuff. Instead, there should be another voice also. And that's where I see our program, the other voice. And then the student saying, well, I hear what you're telling me, but also I have someone who's good at this, and they're lifting me up. They're raising me up and telling me I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Two different opinions here versus mm-hmm. the one here that is so powerful that tells you, abandon this idea. Mm-hmm. You need to make money. And I think we could be a powerful force in there. We're not their parents, but we're just another option, another mm-hmm. voice that's lifting them up instead of telling them, life is tough. You're not going to make it. We need more. Yes, you can do this. And we have people who actually want to help you do this.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's key. It's almost like, I imagine this for you feels like going to the university and or being a college professor or a university mm-hmm. professor, right? In a way where, for me, I'm relating right now as you're speaking as a TRX master trainer when I teach the 8-hour trainings. I get very young and I get all ages and stages at different yeah. points. And the 8 hours with those individuals coming to learn TRX, I feel like I'm in my mentor shoes as I'm teaching. And it's not just TRX. We spend the whole day together. So we share. And the others share and talk about what they're doing in their career and or what they're studying at university. And then I have some older persons and they'll talk about what they've been doing. And it's just this lovely synergy of,
yeah.
oh, I didn't know I could be a health coach, a certified health coach. So, yeah, there are different things out there now. It's good. Yeah, lots of opportunities.
Lots of opportunities. Debbie, thank you so much for spending some time with me. And what's as nice is we're spending more time anyways beyond this. Yeah. So, and doing a big lift for our industry, I think it's good. So thank you so much for your time. But I'd also love for people to know where they can get in touch with you about the things that you're passionate about.
Yes. So just connect with me on LinkedIn. I like LinkedIn a lot. You'll find me there. Just type in Debbie Bellinger. And I do have a website, super easy, www.debbiebellinger.com. But connect on LinkedIn. I do like to share research and engage in conversation. I will lift you up if you connect with me. So that's probably the best option. Or go to my website and just ping me.
Ping Debbie. And Debbie, I can attest to Debbie is on LinkedIn quite a bit. She will get back to you. And just kind of as a preview for our work that we're doing together, we will be doing some data collection coming up in the next 6 months about what are you looking for in a mentorship program for your 2.0 folks or college students, even teens who are looking at what's their career life going to look like. If you're listening to this, reach out to us. What would you like to see in a mentorship program? We're doing both formal collection and informal. We want as much information as possible so we can give you the type of program that'll be meaningful for you and that you'll immediately want to do for that. So Debbie, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Darren.